Hello and welcome to The Court Jester, the podcast that brings you one saucy medieval tale after another. I am Cleo Pethenu, medievalist and storyteller, and today I'm bringing you the story of the Fisherman of Pont-sur-Seine. As usual, this is a story that was written several hundred years ago, so the humour of it can be dated, problematic, and in many ways sexist, gender binary, ableist, and all the other things. This particular one is not one of the worst that we've encountered so far, so the content warnings apply. There is some obscenity in this episode, but maybe you don't need to feel too saucy to listen to this one. However, it might be that you're not in the mood today, which is fine. We still like you. Just come back when you are in the mood. If you think you can consume the content in context and you are in the mood for some medieval foolery, let's get started. This is the story of a fisherman who lived in Pont-sur-Seine, and he had just married a wife. He married her for love, or lust, because she had no dowry. The only dowry she had was wine, the wine they consumed on their wedding nights. But while money was not an issue, the couple loved each other with a very tender heart. Each day the fisherman would leave and go fishing on the Seine, and he was making good money with the fish that he was bringing back. Some of them they kept for their own sustenance, some of them they were selling for a very good price, and so they lived and loved each other and fucked each other diligently. Unless a husband fucks his wife diligently, you see, the love of his wife will go away. And the younger the wife, the faster the love goes away. One day the two of them were in bed, and as they were sitting cuddling, his rod started swelling and growing and rearing up its head. It was a massive, well-proportioned instrument. It caught your attention. So the woman caught it in her hand and held it, and she was happy to find that it was not limp or in any way drained. "I love you so much," she said. "I love you more than anything. I love you more than my father, more than my brothers, more than my family. I love you so much." "I don't believe you," said he. "I think you're just saying this. I think you only love one specific part of me and you're holding it in your hand." "This is not true," she said. "I really do love you. I love you for the love you show me. I mean, you really care for me. You make sure I'm happy. You make sure I'm comfortable. You give me everything you have. You share everything you have with me. I do love you, you know." "Yes, I mean, I do all these things. But I do still think that if for some reason this part of me that you hold in your hand goes missing, you suddenly will stop loving me quite fast, my dear. Whatever else I'll give you, be it clothes, be it a house, be it food and money or anything else, if you don't have this, you're going to leave me." "This is just not true at all," she said, and suddenly she was very, very angry. "Do you think this is what I like of you? I actually do not like this part of you at all. You think I'm enjoying what you're doing to me with this? I dare not refuse you. This is why I let you do it. But if it were up to me, I would never go near it. I'd leave it as far away from me as possible. But the thing is, I can't really ask you to cut it off, because if you do cut it off, you'll probably die. And I don't want that, because as I said, I love you. But don't presume that I have any affection for that particular part of you." "Fine," said the husband, and let the conversation lie. But then he came up with a plan. So the next time he was out with his boat, he took it to the most dangerous part of the river, in a part of a river where people drowned, where people were found floating, dead. And it just so happened that on that day, a priest was floating dead in the water. You may need to know in this point in the narration that this priest was lying dead in the water because he was fucking a certain knight's wife, and that certain knight walked into them and found them connected to the tale, if you know what I mean, and drove his sword through the heart of the priest and threw him in the river as fast as he could to avoid being persecuted. So there is your priest floating in the water with the same erection that he had when he died. And he would have gone down the river and followed the stream. But our fisherman had a plan. And this time, he was fishing for a penis. So he pulled the body to him, turned it over, and chopped off the bits that he was off to find. He rinsed off the blood, made sure that it doesn't look too horrifying, put it in his pocket, and went back home. His wife ran to meet him with joy in her face for seeing him, but he stopped her, saying, "Don't come near me, stay away. Nothing will ever give me joy again, because look what happened." And threw the priest's penis on the floor. "You won't believe what happened," he said. "But as I was coming back home, I was set up by three men. Three! They beat me up so hard, and then they gave me a choice. They said they'd let me go, but they would have to take one part of me off me as a price. And they said, 'We could take your eyes.' And I said, 'No, no, no, you cannot take my eyes, because if you can take my eyes, I will not be able to see you, and that would be all the joy of my life gone.' And then they said, 'They're going to take my ears, but that would be too embarrassing, and I would never be able to hear anything again. So I asked them to take off my cock, because I knew you wouldn't mind, because you said so, and I have no use for it if you don't like it. So I asked them to just chop it off, and so they did. So here it is, lady, at your feet. I have it not anymore, and it will be no more distress and no more pain to you.' She looked at the dismembered penis with horror, and then looked back at him. 'What dirty trick is this?' she said. 'You're going to die. Your body won't sustain this. You're going to die. And also, is it too late to get a separation? Could I get some sort of annulment from the church?' 'You want a separation, wife? Did you not say that if they took my prick away, you wouldn't hate me just for this? Didn't you say that this part of me doesn't matter, that you just love me for who I am and everything else? Why do you want a separation now?' 'This is an awful thing,' she said. 'You need to stay away from me. I don't want your body anymore. I don't want you anywhere near me.' 'I wonder why,' said the husband. 'I did exactly as you said.' She ran out of the room and started calling at the maids and giving orders left and right for her belongings to be packed and for this, that, and the other thing in the household to be made ready for traveling and for servants to start loading the carts so she can run away. Meanwhile, he moved on to the second stage of his plan and went and found a sack of beans. He emptied the sack in his shift and went to find his wife. 'Wife,' he said, 'if you're hell-bent on leaving me, then we should separate our belongings and all of our possessions so that you can get half of it. So when I married you, I made a promise to the church and before all the saints that everything we'll have will be split in two, and everything I have now is 26 shillings. Half of this would be mine and half of this would be yours, and I don't want to break God's law. So if you want to put your hand in here and just pick out your part of this, and then you'll be on your way.' And he invited her to put her hand under his shift where he was keeping the beans. She put her hand into his breeches trying to reach for the money, and what she found instead was his perfectly formed penis that was right where she left it, with every other bit around it in perfect health and perfectly attached. 'What is this I feel?' she said, looking at him with a sparkle in her eye. 'Why is this here? Shouldn't it be at the floor where I last saw it?' 'It must have been some sort of miracle,' he said, 'because not only is it back in place, but it is also going rigid, mostly because you're holding it.' 'But how did it come back to you?' she asked, with a twinkle in her eye getting brighter. 'I do not know the ways of the Lord,' said he, 'but if the Lord desires to bring it back to me, I'm not here to question it. I do think it is because the Lord didn't want my wife to leave me, so he gave it back, because he knew that without it you would just go away with half of our household.' She dropped everything that she was holding and threw her arms around his neck and kissed him deeply in the face, in the mouth, and wherever else she could reach, still holding his rod in her hand. 'You are the best thing that ever happened to me,' she said. 'You scared me so much today. I don't care what happened. I don't care how you got it back, but I'm just so happy to hold it in my hand again.' 'You,' she called a servant, 'bring everything back. We're not going anywhere. We are going back inside, and everything else is going back inside.' And they lived happily ever after. But as I finish my story, I have another message for you. A woman can be married to the best knight in the country, Sir Gawain himself. The most noble, the most valiant, the most heroic knight you can imagine. If by some chance this hero, this amazing man, had been castrated, They would have him traded for the meanest man in the house, and they would be more ready to bed a servant than her spouse, because all they want is to be fucked hard and frequently. But that's my story done. This was the story of the fisherman of Pont-sur-Seine. I hoped you liked it. If you did, and you could look past the obscenity, please rate, follow, and subscribe to The Court Jester wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, tell everyone you know and follow the podcast on social media. There's links for that in the show notes, and we can talk about today's episode or other things medieval. One last thing before I go. The Court Jester is my labor of love. I am a medievalist and storyteller, and I don't get much sense of achievement in my life. If you do like what I do, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon, and you will get bonus episodes, additional material, and other good things, and I will feel like I've achieved something, and I will have the ability to bring you more stories from the Middle Ages, because apparently you seem to like it. Thank you for listening. Until next time.